Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
What a great morning. We've already had a great morning in our 9 a.m. service, and we are continuing on with the party of being here in church. And I love each week that we get to come corporately. And you know what happens when we come together corporately? Faith stirs. Something happens. Something shifts in the spirit. Something shifts. I leave every week not tired. I leave with like, wow, God, this person was here. God, you were doing incredible things in hearts and in lives. And let's never just get familiar, but let's get, wow, Jesus, we get to play a part of this. And today, Marty and I are tag teaming. We are bouncing off each other and continuing our theme of home. Bringing hope, peace, and purpose into our homes, which will be awesome. Sorry, I should have checked all my papers. Everywhere. Here we go. And I'm the detailed one, they thought. But yes, as I said, we're continuing our theme of creating peace in our homes. And today, that's what we're going to be preaching on today. And as we navigate this together, let us know that's what the one thing that the enemy wants to steal from our lives is the peace. He wants to take the peace out of our lives. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to start off setting out the foundations of how the enemy wants to rob the peace from our lives. We're going to look at some practical keys as well as we go forward. You know, today, currently, there have been, as we know, there's been a lot of uncertainties, a lot of unknowns. And during those times when there is uncertainties and unknowns, we can be robbed of our peace. Sometimes in the world, and often I've used these words myself, I've said, I'm feeling anxious today. I'm too overwhelmed. My anxieties, oh, I just can't do it. It's all too much. And I know I've used them. You've probably used those words. But those words that we speak actually do create life over our bodies and over our beings. And the enemy wants to rob us of that. So when we say those words, he's like, yes, she's feeling overwhelmed today. Yes, she's lost the peace. Yes, I'm coming to rob of you of those. So today, as we look at the word anxious, and it's a word that we can sometimes just throw around, but if we look at the first part of the word anxious, ank, the beginning part, ank, it actually means to be tight, means to be painful, it means constricted, a sense of unease. In the Latin form where the word actually originated from was from anger, A-N-G-E-R-E, and it means to choke. So when we're in anxiousness or we're feeling a bit we're actually lost our breath, we can't feel restricted, we can't breathe, we're feeling confined. The second part of the word, so we've got anxious, ank, and then shus. And if you listen to it, it sounds like a sound, doesn't it? It's like shus. It's like the breath that comes out of you when you can't breathe. It's giving you a sense that the breath is leaving the body. The sound that you make when you've run out of breath, when you're running on empty, when you're running low and there isn't enough air. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is to make us feel that we're choked up, we can't breathe, we can't do it, and we've lost the air from within our beings. Now, anxiousness, it takes our peace, it takes our energy, it takes our breath. And now, anxiousness is when we think, what happens if the storm comes? Hasn't happened yet, but we're thinking about it. What happens if the storm comes? What happens if my car crashes? What happens if the plane crashes or doesn't land? Anxiety, it imagines. Anxiety is the what ifs. Anxiety is the voice that stops you from doing what you should be doing or knowing what you want to do. Anxiety is an emotion. Anxiety is the wind. It's the breath when it's knocked out of you. I recall a time last year I was going over to the Gold Coast And all of a sudden, as we were heading to the airport, Marty and I were driving, and I just lost that breath out of me. And I was driving, and I was like, oh, baby, I just can't go. I don't know if I should. What happens to the kids? What happens if I don't make it? And I'm sitting on the front seat, and I have never, ever experienced that before in my life. And I'm like, I just can't. I don't know. Can we do it? I can't. Let's just turn around, and let's just go home. And the wind, it was knocked out of me, and I'm like breathing. I can't. But I knew in that moment also that I had to, because I knew the enemy did not want me to get to where I was meant to go. The enemy, he wants to take the breath from within out of us. Why? Because he knows who the source of our breath is. Our breath is so important. And anxiety, anxiousness, losing our peace is a lack of breath. In Genesis 2 verse 7, it says this. And we know in Genesis chapter 1, it's the form where God formed and created the universe. He spoke with his words. He created life. He created the trees. He created the rivers. He created the sun. He created the moon. He spoke with his words and he created. But in Genesis 2 verse 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So imagine it. Everything's been created, but one thing was missing. And he picked up, created, sculpted, and made man. He made the form of man. But something was still missing from within him, and that was the spirit of life. And it says then that God breathed into his nostrils his breath, and the man was made. Now, if you look at all of the rest of creation, if you think of the animals, God just spoke and formed. He didn't breathe his life into those animals. He didn't breathe the breath of life into the trees. Why? Because we are created in the image of God and we are carriers of his spirit. God breathed life into man. He breathed his spirit. So the word breath from this verse in Genesis 2 also is mentioned in Job 33 verse 4. And it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." The breath of God, he is within me. The breath of God is in you. He created and he made you. So when we have the breath of God within us, when we've been in his presence, when we've spent time with him, we are carriers of his spirit. We are carriers of his life. And therefore, as we're carrying it, as Marty will say, like, we're not going to not have our peace at times, because sometimes we aren't. But as we are carriers of his spirit, as we've spent time with him, the breath of God is within us.
Awesome. As Rach said, we see this idea of breath in the Old Testament, but also it's in the New Testament. In John chapter 20, this word breathe is there again. And I'll just say this point comes, John 20, Jesus has sacrificed his life on the cross. He's been resurrected. He's appeared just to Mary, Peter, and John. And then the disciples are all together in a locked room, and it says that Jesus just suddenly appears. And he says, "Peace be with you." And that's mostly because they're all freaked out because the door was locked. And so it's inferred that Jesus just sort of turned up, whether he, you know, walked through the wall or just appeared or whatever supernatural part that he did. But then we pick it up in verse 21 of John 20. It says, it's Jesus speaking. "Again, he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' Then he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So we see Jesus saying, "Peace be with you," as he turns up. And then he says it again, and he breathes on them saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is peace. There are many names for the Holy Spirit, and that's not because he has a complex and just needs to have like a lot of names to make him feel better. It's because they describe who the Holy Spirit is, that the Holy Spirit is peace, that the Holy Spirit is our comfort. The Holy Spirit is our strength. He is the helper. He is the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit is peace. And so here in this verse, we see clearly that Jesus is continuing this same image of breath
meaning life. And just like God breathed into the first man, breathed into Adam and said, have life, he's with his disciples and he breathes over them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, have this power, have this life that I have for you. Now often, especially if we've been in church for a little while, when we hear about the Holy Spirit and we think, you know, this Holy Spirit that fills us with power, that fills us with boldness, that empowers us to see, to work miracles and to see God move in situations. And all that is absolutely true. But sometimes if we just view the Holy Spirit like that, it can fill our minds with this image of the Holy Spirit being like a genie in the bottle. You know, like rub the gold lamp and pops out, and you know, three wishes, and we all know the rules, like you can't wish for unlimited wishes, you've only got three. And we think that the Holy Spirit's like this on demand, come and help me and do something and work something for me so that I can, you know, so that I can get through whatever I'm facing. But you know, speaking of genies in the bottle, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that I feel like Aladdin is the greatest Disney musical of all time. Does anyone agree with me? Yes, we got some people booing me down the back, but that's all right. We'll talk to them later. Well, I'm not sure what your favorite Disney musical is, but it's so hard to beat, you know, a whole new world or whatever. We'll do a duet soon. Don't you dare close your eyes. You know, whatever. I don't know all the lyrics, no, obviously. Come on, that's right. But it's just so hard to beat those Aladdin songs. They're just amazing. But the power, if you know Aladdin, so I am going to now compare the genie in the bottle to the Holy Spirit, but just go with me for a second. It's okay. If we know the story of Aladdin, the power is actually not in the fact that there's three wishes. The power is that Aladdin builds a relationship with the genie. If it was just the three wishes, if you know the story, if you don't, you know, hire it on DVD or watch it on Disney Plus or whatever this afternoon. But if you know the story, you know that if it was just the three wishes, Aladdin wouldn't get to where he gets to because he would have used them all up. But it's because of the relationship that he builds with the genie. And we're gonna take that across and go, I know it's not a great illustration, but just go with me for a second. That's like with the Holy Spirit. It's not that he does things for us. What he wants is to develop a relationship with us, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, a relationship with this Spirit of peace who wants to come and fill us each and every day with the breath of God, with the life of his Spirit, and he wants us to partner with him together to receive the Holy Spirit. So we're going to wrap up this message. We're going to swap once. We're going to swap once again. And we want to discover, how can we work with this Holy Spirit? How can we work with the Spirit of peace to create an environment of peace, an environment of love, and an environment of purpose in our homes, no matter what our home life looks like? Whether we're the family with the, you know, 2.3 kids, whether we're, you know, single, whether we're married, whether we're a single parent, whether we're a blended family, wherever we are, it doesn't matter our situation. There's a Spirit of peace known as the Holy Spirit who wants to come, fill our lives, and then help us and partner with us to create an environment in our homes.
So what we're going to do and look at now is how we build a relationship. You know, today in society, there is so much that distracts us from spending time with our God. It could be the wrong friend circle. It could be social media. It could be our thought life and how we're spending time and we're thinking. It's the comparisons of looking at other people's lives and wishing that you had their life. Or is it TV, Netflix, is it gaming? One distraction is our smartphones. On average, each person spends 4.5 hours a day on their smartphones. It's a lot of hours if you think about it. That's half a work day. So a lot of things can distract us. And as people, we have the personal responsibility of prioritizing where our time goes. You know, we mentioned it earlier last week, you know, over this COVID season, I think the one thing that stood out to us is it's a personal responsibility of discovering Jesus. We can't rely on an hour and 5 minute service or an hour and 10 minute service to fill us up and to get us through the week. That's running on fumes. That's just running on nearly empty. That's not going to get us in a personal, deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. It's one way, because as we come together, our faith is stirred and we get encouraged from our worship, our message, and we get encouraged from hearing stories of what God is doing in this place. But that's only one. It's the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday. It's what personal responsibility are we taking for our own lives to build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Just like when we have friends and building a deeper relationship with friends and getting to know each other, it starts off shallow, but it gets deeper. You know those moments when you're talking about the weather, to eventually it gets to, hey, having those deep emotional cries together. If you're female or male, it doesn't matter. But it's building that relationship and that connection with time with your friends. And that's what it is with God. We must choose and prioritize and take those moments to spend with Him. You know those passing comments that we often say with people, it's like, oh, we should catch up. We should have coffee. Oh, yes, let's do dinner. But we never actually put it in our diaries and do it. And it can be like that with God. We come to a Sunday service or we've been in a life group and we're like, you know what? I should spend time with God. And then we go home and we get busy in our own worlds again and we don't do it. And that's what I want to encourage us today. Set aside time in your mind, okay? I'm going to prioritize spending time with my living God. I'm going to prioritize because He's the Spirit. He's the breath of life that I need within me. He's the one that is going to sustain me. You know, maybe you are making a choice to spend time with God and maybe you want to go, and it could be going on a walk on the beach. If you love walking on the beach and you're a nature person, go for the walk on the beach and include God in it. Maybe it's going to the coffee shop. Include God in going to the coffee shop. Order two coffees and drink one for yourself. And if He doesn't drink it, great. You get another coffee. Awesome. But spend time with God. Prioritize it. If you're an early riser, get up in the morning before the kids are awake. Students, if you're an early riser, get up in the morning and spend time with God before you go to school. Don't let a day go by without spending time with Him. Intentional time. Prioritize it. Because as we spend time with Him and we're building a relationship with Him, that's how we then become a carrier of the peace. Because if we're spending time with our living Creator, He breathes into us and peace comes into our beings. Here's just a few practical things of what I've discovered as a mum, as a wife, as a person, how to carry peace. And in our home and in our home life, and maybe you are in a share home or maybe you live at home with your parents, you get to create the environment that you want. If you want the environment of peace in your home, you have the personal responsibility to create it. If you're living at home with mum and dad, your bedroom is your environment. You can create the environment of peace in your room. If your room's messy or if your house is messy, like, you get to create that environment. That's your home. You create that environment. And maybe it's with putting worship on in your home and it's just so that it just goes through the house. Or it's praying, walking through your home or spending time in your lounge room reading your word and speaking the word out. You create the environment of peace in your home. I create the environment of peace in my home. It is my responsibility. At work, we carry peace. And Marty said that when you go to work, be intentional. Today, I carry peace into my workplace. In my room, I work in a 3-year-old kindy room, and sometimes it is not peaceful. And I sit there trying to get these kids off to sleep. And I'm like, I bring peace into this room. Because they're climbing the walls and they're driving me crazy. But I am a carrier of peace in my work environment. When there's work tensions or staffing tensions, I am a carrier of peace in my environment. As a parent, you set the tone. You have the responsibility of setting the tone in your home. You are the spiritual leaders in your home, whether you are a single mum, single dad, a blended family, married, you set the tone in your home. And what example are you setting? Like with your children, they look at you and they watch what you do. You set the example in your home. We create it. We create it with the tones that we speak. We create it with how we apologize to our husband or our wife when we've done the wrong, or how we apologize to our children when we've spoken harshly at them. And another just little thing, and maybe you're not a parent in here yet, but remember, parents, that you are on the same team as each other. Husbands and wives, you are on the same team as each other. There's been times when I'm like, World War III is about to break out if I don't get some help. And boy, the peace will not be in our home then. And sometimes I'm like, hey, Marty, can you please just take over? I'm nearly going to lose it. I just need a moment. But we're on the same team together. He's not going to turn and bag me and say, oh, she can't handle it. Oh, she's no good as a mum. But we're on the same team. We read each other and we know where we're at with each other. So be on the same team, husbands and wives. Speak positively about each other, whether it's with your children. How you speak, your kids hear. If you're bagging out your housemate, or if you're bagging out your children, or you're speaking negatively about your husband or your wife, your kids hear that, so therefore they will copy you. And you know what? To be honest, if you want to, sometimes if you're not at our school, of course, or your school, but often mums will sit around and talk about negatively about their husbands. Oh, he didn't do that, or he can't do this, he's not good enough. But people hear that in the world. We set the tone in our home of how we speak and how we create. And I want to encourage you, be a carrier of peace. Spend time with God. Carry the peace of God into your work, into your home, and into your environments.
Awesome. And as we wrap up, so we talked about building a relationship, talked about being a carrier, and the last one, nice and practical, is build with your words. I want to read you Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Another way to say it is that peace and hostility are in the power of the tongue, or blessing and cursing are in the power of the tongue, or lifting up and pulling down are in the power of the tongue. You know, the atmosphere and the environment of our home will be built upon the words that we speak. Now, if you live alone, don't think, woohoo, get a free pass on this, because we all know that whoever we are, we all speak to ourselves. So maybe it's your own personal words that are pulling you down. You know, you make a mistake, and we've all been, you know, this has all happened to all of us. We're like, oh, so stupid, hopeless. Oh, I always do that. What are they? They're negative words, like the Bible says, the power of life and death are in the tongue. And so why don't we use that power to build our home environment, to build an environment of peace, to build an environment of purpose, to build an environment of love. You know, our words over our spouses, over our housemates, over our children, are they words that bring life, or are they words that bring death? Are they words that bring out the best, or are they words that highlight the worst? Do they bring freedom, or do they bring bondage and chains? Now, I'm sure we've all said so many things that we regret. And I would say for myself, the thing I have to apologize for the most at home is the words that I speak, whether they're wrong words or whether they're even the right words said the wrong way. We all know that. There's been plenty of times I've apologized to our kids and said, what I said was right, but the way I said it, that wasn't the right way. And so I'm sorry. So we all make mistakes. We all stuff up, but it's about taking stock and recognizing and being vigilant of how we use that power of life and death in our tongue. Because you see, God has called us to speak words of faith. You say, well, what are words of faith? It sounds very Christian. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews that faith calls those things that are not as though they are. So faith words don't just state the facts of the situation. They speak into and they lift people up to the potential that's there. Instead of magnifying the fault, they magnify the potential. Anyone can state the facts. Anyone can say, you never clean up. You're always late. You're always on the device. You never listen to me.
and they're just facts. But in fact, they're not even facts, because surely at one point in time, some point, somewhere, your husband cleaned up once. Like somewhere, I promise you, surely. It was probably like your birthday or Mother's Day or something like that. But surely at some point he did clean up. So you can't say you never clean up, because he has at least once. What are you doing? You're magnifying the fault. If we constantly say to our teenagers, you're always on your device. Well, hopefully at some point they slept, so then they weren't on their device. So what are we doing? We're just magnifying the fault. But instead of magnifying the fault, why don't we magnify the potential? Why don't we speak people up? Why don't we, everyone likes to be talked up. You know, I'd forgotten about this saying. We're at this event and a guy was speaking. Actually, how good is this? I have to say this, because this is worth it. So Mandra Matters, which is like the strategic plan from the council to, you know, take Mandra into the next 20 years and, you know, big community consultation, all that sort of thing. Do you know the spokesperson for it is Josh Edwards, who's the pastor of East Lakes Church. I just think how amazing in our city that we have a pastor as the spokesperson for the community program. Anyway, so we're at this launch thing, and Josh spoke, and then the mayor got up and said how good he was. And anyway, we were talking to him afterwards, and he said this saying, someone said to him, oh, you know, the mayor loves you. He's like, oh no, he's just putting air in my tires. I'm like, oh, I hadn't heard that saying forever. But why don't we put some air in some people's tires? Why don't, instead of just pointing out the flat, see that? You got a nail. We went on a bike ride the other week with a family from the Church of the Heartlands, and managed to get like 3 flat tires, both of mine, through big cat's eye bindies. But instead of magnifying the fault, why don't we put air in someone's tires? Why don't you put some air in your wife's tires? Instead of pulling her down, why don't you lift her up? Why don't you put some air in your children's tires? Instead of saying everything they do wrong all the time, instead of magnifying all the faults, why don't you put some air in their tires and magnify the potential? And not in some corny sort of little self-help way, just, you know, you can do it. What movie is that from? Anyway, someone can tell me later. You know, not just some corny self-help way, but authentic. Hey, I believe you can do it. You know what, in this family, we clean up after ourselves. That's what you say to your kids, not to your husband. You phrase it slightly differently. But, you know, in this family, we clean up after ourselves. And I reckon you could actually pick your undies off the floor and get them to the laundry basket. What do you think? I can see it. I reckon you can do it. Whatever it is, let's use our words to build, not to tear down, but to build up. Let's understand that there's a breath of God that wants to come and fill our lives with peace, wants to come and fill our lives with hope. And there's this peace, this air, this breath that wants to come into us, that wants to come out, because we understand that we're carriers of that, and that we can use our words. If we think about this whole breath thing, when we speak, where you've got to breathe. You can't just try it for a second. Try and breathe in and speak at the same time. It's weird. I didn't test that before, by the way. But when we speak, we breathe out. Let's breathe in something of God, understand that we're a carrier, and then breathe it out through our words. Breathe it out by lifting people up, by putting some air in some people's tires. Let's create environments of peace by understanding that God's breath and His Spirit wants to come and fill us, to breathe and to form that relationship, to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that our reactions, our responses, and our words bring an environment of peace in our homes.